So we continue our topic on wounded soldier. Who was blessed by that message on Sunday? Great. Great. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be strong. Remember what the scripture said? Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. God does not raise weaklings. So the Bible says that we should put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because God understands that we are at war. When we talk about a wounded soldier, you're not just dealing with someone who just came to church. Talk about someone who, you know, hanging around church for a while, it's not even a good thing to be critical of church. Well, I'll come to that later on. There's some things I'll say. It's not a good thing to be critical of church because the church is precious to God. Remember, during the cell ministry week, I shared a scripture with you. He said, this is the gate of heaven. All right. So no matter how people try to bastardize the church, no matter how people try to bastardize the church, we're not critical of church. But hanging around church systems for a while, there's a few things you observe. And it's only wise that we try to either avoid them or to be aware of them. Like Paul said, beware of dogs. Remember, the dogs are in the house. So when we talk about wounds, right? We talk about wounds. It sometimes happens in church, and I'll show you a few scriptures. So the person who's a soldier, who is a leader trying to fight in the house of God, sometimes get wounded by different things that happen. Some are not intentional, or some are not really pointed at them, but they end up getting to them. All right. So this soldier who has been in church gets wounded. Like, for example, I know a lady who decided to leave church because the person, and this is a very committed sister, the person she thought she would marry was in church. And the person ended up not going that direction. She felt like, I can't be here. Every time I see him, I'm unhappy. All right? I first of all talked about those who are wounded in the house. And I was talking about different kinds of wounds. I started with those who are wounded in the house. And we looked at Zechariah 13. He says, I think verse 5 said, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. Verse 6, he says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall say, answer those, then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And I explained on Sunday that sometimes you come to church and the church looks like a very safe place for you. Right, so everybody is a good person, great person, and everybody's your friend. Right, then he says, I got these wounds from the house of my friends. I got this hurt from the house of my friends. I got this hurt from church. Then I talked about those wounds, some come from your own foolishness. And I gave you Psalm 38, also verse 5. He said, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. So today we'll go a little deeper into this. So these are almost like self-inflicted wounds because they came from your own foolishness. And I gave you many examples and we're all laughing on Sunday. Pastor said, if the guy approaches you, come and see me or bring him to see me. If you think you like, come with him. So I think we should let Pastor know. Well, for some reasons why some people don't is because If I go, he probably will tell us that it has casted. You see, so the fear of it doesn't make people come. But that's also the beginning of the trouble. Sometimes you ask them, why didn't you tell me? Like I said on Sunday, nobody's trying to micromanage your life. But I was the first member of the church. Do you understand my statement? So there are certain things. What I'm sharing now, some guys don't like it at all. Because their plans have been casted. I don't like it at all. And like I said, it's not always the fault of the guys. Like early this morning, I was sharing some stories. This is not somebody who said to me, I not hear say, the person told me, that you, I'll finish you. The person even gave me a time frame. He said, by the next 5 years, they have finished you. Yeah. So we are all counting. very bold sister. Very, very, very audacious. So I might as well finish you. Once you finish, you left the church. You see, some of the wounds come from your own foolishness. So you make up your mind that you will not be foolish this year. Some of the wounds also come from fellow brethren. You see, the unity of the brethren is a threat to the devil. Right? There are some things you have to understand if you are going to, you know, flourish. It's like there should be a course on how to be a member of a church. Are you getting it? Because it's like nobody's really ready for that. We just come in and you just find yourself among people and you like the pastor, you like the message, you like the church, you just decide. So how to be a member of the church is you've not been taught. But I thought you realize something has happened that you are not ready for. So when you hear people who said, I left church because of so and so, you hear things that if they were prepped on, probably. So that's what I'm trying to do. Acts chapter 6. When you are in church, listen to this. Be careful of those who murmur and complain. Why? Now, the mere fact that we are more than one person here. I mean, even think of this. Marriage that has two people. Sometimes can be blues. Two. Can you imagine? I used to live in an area where every morning a couple must fight. Have you ever stayed somewhere like that before? Every morning someone is fighting, anybody's hearing the fight. By evening they are eating together. Yeah. He was a barber. Yeah, he was a barber and they lived adjacent to our house. His name was Geshe. I remember my brain there. His name was Geshe. In the morning, the one will carry something. Then the child will be crying, the child will be naked, crying. Then Geshe and the mother fighting in the night. You see them eating together. I'm like, what? The first time I saw it, I'm like, these people kill themselves today. They will kill themselves today. In the evening, they were eating together and walking and strolling together. I'm like, what? What happened? You know? So even married that has two people, you see, you can see this happening. Then how much more 3,000 people? There will be something to always complain about. So Acts chapter 6 from verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied. Now, let me say this. When we're in Best Western, we hardly had murmuring. You hardly have anybody murmuring. When we're in Best Western, 200 people, we come to church, everybody loves the pastor, they love the message, everybody's on fire, everybody just loves, oh, right, church, I'll sleep here. Everybody, you know, then sometimes after service, you have to literally sack people to go home. There was a time I said, okay, we're going to start teaching foundation school, and I'm not going to teach it in church. I'm going to teach it after service. So after service, I finished three services. Then we start foundation school. These people will sit down and wait and finish foundation school. Pastor Rebecca's foundation school class, if you know Pastor Rebecca very well, Rebecca, Firebrand, if you know her very well, there, everlasting meetings, if you know her very well, there was a time I had to see her, so I said, please, let them go, please. I almost came out of my car, I beg. So if you know Rebecca very well, I'm sure she'll hear this. If you know Rebecca very well, you know that her meetings are everlasting. So when we're singing that song, from generation. What happened? So I was climbing to my office and I heard somebody talking to people. I've been telling you people, this is around 12 midnight. I said, whose child? So I knock. I had to knock. She was having an online meeting. 12 midnight, get it to 1. Said, we have online every day. Hey! So you can imagine if that's a foundation school teacher. You are not going home that day. And now all that was happening, and there was never any murmuring, any complaint. Everybody was just moving. Why? You know, when the number is smaller, you can easily detect those things and solve them. Okay, so when we came here, and this one is not like this, and that one, why? It's in the Bible. It says, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. What caused it? When the number of... So sometimes growth is a great thing, but sometimes we're not prepared for what comes with growth. The Bible talks about the mixed multitude that fell a last thing in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel were great guys. You know, their legacy had been passed on to them from their father. So when they were coming out of Egypt, they were still in their tribes. They were the Reubenites, because remember that Moses prayed for them in Deuteronomy 33. So when they were coming out, they were still in their tribes. So things were passed on to them. So when Moses came and said the God of the Hebrews had sent us, you know, oh yeah, we've been taught about the God of the Hebrews. So they were not really the terrible guys. But the Bible talks about a mixed multitude that was among them. When you read Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, all right. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle. What's a mixed multitude? You know, every time there is a movement, like a move from God, there's always people who mix with the move. All right? So some people are not coming to look for God or look for the Lord. So they said, oh, there's this church. When you go there, young people, they are worshiping. They are there. So that's another, to someone else, that's another socialization center. That's why I respect people who come for midweek. That takes the second level of devotion. Then those who come for all nights, wow, they've moved even further. You see, so the mixed multitude joined them. And one thing about the mixed multitude is that the mixed multitude have cravings, worldly cravings. Are you getting it? The thing about the mixed multitude is that they have cravings. So the mixed multitude have the ideas, their mentalities, from wherever they are coming from. And sometimes the mixed multitude, for example, I'll give you an example. Maybe someone is as mixed with the brethren and is in the midst of the brethren and says, me, where I'm coming from, eh? The pastor allows you to date whoever you want. I don't know why this pastor is always saying that, come and see me. You know, all those things. We have to be careful. We have to be careful of cults. We have to be careful of cults. Let me tell you, those who accuse the church of being a cult, those who cannot break in to do what they want to do. Once they find it impossible to break in, you know what? They want the house of God to be an unruly place, that they will be able to get their agenda through. Okay, for example, everybody is going out for protest or demonstration or whatever. Then immediately they do ping, 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 ping. Why are members of this church, not this so and so church, not coming out for protest? Then the members will come out. Hey, that's a good church. Hey, that's a good church. Say they are all coming out like this. They don't like a church that wants to wait for their commander. Why? Because they were not able to get the agenda across. They will label you a cult if they were not able to get through. But we are not a mob. We are an army. A mob, some people think a mob cannot get an agenda done. No, a mob can get something done. A mob can lynch a thief. Their next assignment, you will see where the problem will now start. The mob can say, hey, this one is a thief. Therefore, we have achieved. Now, tell that same mob to get another thing done. That's where you now see the importance of rank and organization. They will label you a cult if they were not able to get through. But they are joking. They are not joking. They've not seen anything yet. In the scriptures, Bible says that an army will rise that keeps rank. You come in, there's a system. There's a pastor, there's a leader, there's a leader, there's a leader. When something has to go a particular way, it goes through the proper quarters, goes to a proper way, then it comes to the right place. When they see things like that, when the devil sees things like that, he's frustrated. Why? Because he never get able to get what he wants done. So now be faced by those statements. When you see those kind of statements, you know the devil is shaking in his pants. Imagine if we're not organized. We'll just jump during COVID. We'll just jump and do what everybody's doing. We'll talk about this in a bit. So the mixed multitude, go to the book of, I think, Numbers. Bible says that they fell a lasting. That means they were having cravings. Now remember, the mixed multitude are not Israelites. So they are not taught in the ways of God. So they had cravings. Cravings of where they are coming from. Those kind of cravings. The church we are coming from. Where I came from. They don't do this like this. They do it like this. Then they start Numbers 11:4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lasting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Prior to this, they were okay with the bread that they were getting from God. Manna, they were grateful. They were getting the bread. They were going to, they were grateful. Then all of a sudden, the murmuring began with people who had cravings. Give that to me in the Message translation. You see, people who had cravings. Every day, love or singers. Sometimes they must sing three songs. See, the three song, they lift your spirit. Message calls them the riffraff. That's mixed multitude. No leader. Riffraff. The riffraff among the people had a craving, and soon they had the people of Israel whining. So where did the murmuring come from? The mixed multitude, the riffraff, that were what? That were craving and they were communicating their craving. What's murmuring? Secret displeasure. Since we came here, every time, I just wish that one day, all this love of singers thing will stop. Somebody will just come and say, I'm a fra you need to brother, sister. Sing the love of sickness when you go out. I'm a fra, you need to sing it from there. It's I see. Anything that has to do with order, some people just don't like it. Why? Because they were never taught and they were never trained to follow rank. The people are jumping out. They are jumping out. We are going. Protest. I don't know why this church, they are not going around for the protest. We are all suffering in this country. Hey, this boy. They are waiting for their pastor. Somebody will say, we are all struggling. Instead of us to be going for the protest, we are in the church praying, Then they will be passing it on. Somebody will catch the disease. Someone catch the disease. That's what happened in Acts chapter 6. So go back to Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows
were neglected in the daily ministration. The word daily ministration then means daily sharing of food. I see what caused the fight? Food. And that was not the case. The disciples or the apostles were not planning to, I need to get this, they were not planning to keep some people from getting food. You see, probably was a coincidence. Okay, look at this. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because they are widows. So, for example, they were sharing the food, and the Hebrew widows were getting the food more than the Grecian widows. Probably maybe 10 Hebrew women were served, 4 Grecians were served. The Grecians can immediately look, bear in mind, the gospel came from the Hebrews. So it can look as though, oh, so because we are Grecians, they don't want to serve us food. It sometimes happens in church. The first person who came to lead prayer has an Ewe name. 3 people on the talk show have an Ewe name. The person doing the affirmation has an Ewe name. Mauko, Mauto, Mauli. Welcome. I said it. It's only Ewes in this church. Only Ewes. There's someone telling you, you don't know. If you're not an Ewe, you'll not be a leader. See, Pastor Olga, you think she's not an Ewe? Her grandfather's sister. There are things. There's something about Ewes. Pastor Enoch, we have to check his lineage. I mean, you see that all examples, gas. I don't know what gas have done to him. If gas didn't have done anything, we should just go and apologize. Because what's going on in this church is to, so then they don't form Ghana Confederation of the CEYC. When they close after service like this, that someone will hear what they are talking about. Say this. Say, no one is against me. Did you hear yourself say that? Say that. Say, nobody is against me. Remove that thing from your mind that somebody is intentionally doing something against you. Nobody is even thinking of that. I see. So the murmuring will begin to spread. Just begin to spread. The person is confiding in this person, confiding in that person, and it's just spreading. The murmuring is spreading. Spreading. Philippians chapter 4. One time, someone came to me after service and said, Pastor, I love you so much. One of the things I like about you is that you're a Ghanaian. I'm serious. He says, everything that people know about Christ-Mazi is a Nigerian church. But when I came to the church and I realized that you're a Ghanaian and you were preaching and you put tree inside your message, I felt so comfortable. Hey. Bible says, from henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. It's not about Ghanaian or Nigerian. Bible says, what matters in Christ is a new creation. My mother said that I should never bring an Ewe man to the house. Philippians chapter 4. You see, this memory can create wounds. Look at something. First Corinthians 8:12. I'll read something there, then you understand how these things can create wounds. And you know the amazing thing about such perspectives, from that moment you begin to see everything from that lens, and everything will begin to make sense. Say, Cheku. It's only Airways that sing. It's only Airways that sing in the choir.
Then you didn't realize before. Then that morning, set on arm. Now we're to take the microphone. Okay, look at this. This wounds from other brethren sometimes comes through murmuring. This is not your own foolishness. You are just there. They brought you the information. He says, but when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wounding the brethren's weak conscience. The person is a new member. He's just enjoying his life in Christ. Enjoying their life in Christ. Then the person is in church. Then one day, this person will now, hi, how are you? Can we be friends? Then they are friends. Then outside there, at the bench over there, they are sitting now after church. You are new here, right? Yeah. I came 3 weeks ago and, oh boy, I just love the message. Pastor Enoch is just an amazing man of God and he just preached the word and I'm just, all my life, I've been wondering where I've been. I'm not saying anything, no. But be careful. Be careful how you walk. We've been here. One of the veterans of the ministry will be here. Hey, what do you mean by that? Before they say I'm a devil, no worry. Before they say that. But the truth is the truth. Me, I'm someone that likes the truth. When I was born, that's how they used truth to bath me. Then the unsuspecting new member starts thinking. So what are you trying to say? Yes, it's an agenda. So that all our efforts will be taken to Nigeria. Oh. So be careful how you do your things. We must protect the motherland.
Yes, Antoine.
He said, when you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. One time, there was something like that. You know me, I'll say it. There was something like this, and some people said, oh, to get a certain award, you can fake the figures, you can increase the risk. Then they said, I have to bring somebody to do the. So I sent Chelsea. And the way I've trained my people, we don't fake anything, no. We don't fake anything. We don't fake any reports, results, nothing. We don't fake anything. I want the real thing. Put the real thing there. Some people don't mind. They can put 2 zeros behind something. The meeting was 120 people. They said it was 12,000. And the person who will take the picture knows how to take it. Media team understand what I'm saying. They go and stand at the angle. 120 people will spread the chairs. And they'll say, oh, they could not cover the rest. Because it has to be a testimony that it is actually done. So that we don't let the lie prevail. So when they're saying, this particular thing, oh, you can go and input. When Chelsea got there, this is a true story, to the place. When Chelsea got to the place, they told the person, so, you know, you can actually. She said, no, we have the real figures. He said, oh, no. Said, no, Chelsea says, you know. So go to Philippians chapter 4. This is the book that he said, my God shall supply all your need. He was talking that my God shall perform what he started with you. So this is a nice church. They are doing nice things. But when he's about, at the time he was about to end the letter, they told me that the food will come at this time at the camp. And it has not been settled through the communication. Be at peace.
No. Nobody can take advantage of me in the church. Do you know where I was before? Me? Before I will slap you. Do you know me? Go ask about my mother. The way I am, I can't even share a room with somebody because of all these things. I'm preaching, eh? Romans chapter 12, verse 18. When you start doing this, let me tell you, when you start doing this, you are seeing spiritual maturity. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as light in you, live peaceably with all men. He said, if it is possible, as much as, that means, so far as it depends on you. For example, this scripture means, for example, there are some disagreements that you need a person to come apologize for it to work. But the Bible is saying that as much as possible, the one within your power, what's within your power, you can apologize. Even though you are right, it's within your power. You can apologize and settle the matter. Now, guess what? You're thinking it will make you look weak. No, it will not make you look weak. You are being spiritual. I've told you the story many times. Every time I had misunderstandings with people, I'll be the one God will talk to. I'm like, God is always looking for the loose person around. Like, why? Go and talk to him too, Lord. It's me that they can always use. God said, go and tell him. Go and apologize. Me. Hold me. You came to church. An usher offended you. As you're coming like this. No. Today, the angle, and you're already used to sitting a certain place in church. You said, no, please, can I please sit over here? And Osha Sintiche, who probably that morning has not eaten and is feeling a migraine, it's like, I'm not in your mood. I'm not in the mood for this. So I say, oh, Osha, please, can I sit for you? Then you now decide, and please, nobody can tell me what to do in the church. You go sit over there. Then the Osha will come to you. Please, with all spiritual dignity, can we? Let me tell you, you are about to waste the whole service. How can you receive the word of God in that kind of heart? You're about to waste the whole service. Just go home. Tell somebody, no disagreements. Now, can you disagree on something? Yes. What do you do as a result of the disagreement? You settle it. He said, because you belong to the Lord. Not because you are male or female. Because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreements. Eudias and Syntyche, members of the Philippian church. Settle your disagreements. This person took money from me, and every time he's always giving me attitude. After taking my own money, can you imagine my own money that I'm going for? She's giving me attitude. I don't want to have any issue with anybody. So when I come to church, I will just sit at the back. Live peaceably with all men. And the guys too. Sometimes you saw a lady in church. You said, wow, this is the person I'll be with. Then you now spoke to your friend that, have you seen Sister Sandra? I perceive that the Lord is leading me to Sister Sandra. A month later, you see
Brother Clarence that you spoke to is talking to Sister Sandra. Brother Clarence, but I told you about Sister Sandra. Then Sister Sandra has made a choice. And Sister Sandra said, Brother Clarence. Then from that day, anytime you see Brother Clarence. Nobody knows why on your status, men are wicked, men are wicked, men are wicked.
Well, it be your own niggas.
It be your own niggas. James 3. Verse 15. Cobre de cavae. He said, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. 16. For where envying and strife is, strife, all right? Eudias and Syntyche, what we're having was strife. He said, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You don't want to give the devil that advantage in your cell. You don't give the devil that advantage in your fellowship. Don't give that advantage in the church. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. If something went on in church and it was not, and you thought, oh, this was not right, or this one did not sit well with you, you know. Jesus never said in settling our conflict, we should carry a camera and tell social media. I want to share what happened to me when I went to you. I'm not a good Christian. You're not a proper Christian because you don't know your Bible. Jesus gave us, show you something in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 5. Are you sure you're here? He said, hear this. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel. Give ye ear, O house of the king. He says, for judgment is toward you. Why? Because ye have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. Now he's talking to the priests, that is leaders. That's like a soldier. Okay. So now go to verse number 12. He says, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. Verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness, all right, talking about the soldier, when he saw his sickness, his wound, all right, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. When he saw his wound, he now went to the world to go and carry a camera or to go and look for someone who is not a leader figure in the house of God concerning the church. And when say, this is what I've been going through. This is what I've gone through. He said, you sent, when you saw your wound and saw your sickness, you took it to the world. Like some people, you carry a wound you got in the house of God to an born again therapist. Now, I think I need therapy. You're allowing the world to raise you. He said, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian. He went to the Assyrian. Jesus gave us how we do conflict resolution in the kingdom. When there's a conflict and it has to be resolved, Jesus said, first of all, go and meet the person. Go and meet your brother. He said, because if you are able to settle it with your brother, he says you have gained your brother. See how Jesus is thinking? That gaining your brother is more important than you being right. He says, if your brother does not agree, so you go and call.
When I don't have any gun.
And I was preaching. And I told them, and they were all here, and the police were here, and I said it. I said, no true man of God is afraid of going to prison. And I was preaching. One policeman told Brother Wilson, you said, your pastor, It's tough. Let me tell you where that confidence came from. That morning when I was dressing to come to church, I picked my dress. God said, I'm with you. If the Lord be with us, who shall be against us? What can you do? Be fearless. Bible says, in nothing, terrified by your adversary. We are walking in glory. And we are marching on. I'm telling you, they are going to dragging. They are going to see one of the most greatest explosions of revival. I'm telling you. This year, we'll have a meeting in this country. Eh? We'll have a meeting in this country. It will be as though the whole youth of the country have gathered together. Seek about speaking other tongues. Mantokara by Handehai. Sebra da baraba shada da barakose. Brakora bandiri be cabrandas cabradidai. Leto sopre de caparona. Yebrandora basade de me cabron de debe. Shibarana mascada da mayamarane me cabosh. Labrado seke da bron de kebaria teke. Shikabro cabrada baya. Braco seke bra. Ibaranaba shabra da bakabaya. Yabranaba shabra da baya. Yabranaba shabra da baya. Rakabai. Sit down for a moment. You see, when there's something you're going through and it has to do with church, always seek God's perspective on it. It will shock you, his perspective. The Bible says, judge righteous judgment. Always seek God's perspective on it. When something is going on, always seek God's perspective on it. If you're hurt by something, go and pray. Perspective is everything. By the time your perspective is shifted, you'll be wondering, why was I even feeling this way? Like today, a leader came to me, coming to tell me something about her leader. Now, legit concern, she felt like her leader only knows her when there's something to do. Legit concern. But I gave her perspective. I said, number one, your leader is still growing. Number two, she's trying to juggle many things together. I said, so sometimes we even make that mistake of, you know, we compartmentalize members. All right? It's like, I know, mommy always comes to tell me, mommy is with me. You understand? So I see the new one and I'm more moved to go to the new one and, you know, talk to the new one more nicely. You understand? Why? Because I'm trying to get her to stand. Okay? So I see, it's like we already divide our members in a way. You know, you know the one who is with you. This one is with me. So I remember during Encounter Love 2019, I was with Brown. Pastor Brown. I was with Brown. We went everywhere. He carried the people. He carried Sinat's band. He carried the people. He was doing almost all the work, almost all the dirty work. And most of the time, that's what Brown does. Almost all the dirty work. Carrying the people. He's taking them here. He's doing the, you know, that's what he was doing. And, you know? So while the whole program was going on, you know, I was even telling him how, oh, this person has really done well. How this person, but something small he did at the end of the program, I rebuked him. I know you see this, but he cried. He said, Pastor, I did so many things right. I said, it's true, you did many things right. But I said, I'm sorry. You know why? I looked at him and I said, let me tell you why I behaved like that. It's because I don't see you as somebody I should think. I see you as part of me. I see you as like another me. Who thanks me? See, sometimes when your leader is perspective, when your leader is almost not acknowledging you in any way, get the message behind the message. Sometimes not because you are not important. You are so important that he's not even separating you from him. That's the reason why you're not getting that recognition. Now, I'm not trying to excuse the leader, that the leader should do better, all right? From that day, I learned. When there was anything, I'd say, oh, thank you so much for everything you did. But I seem like we. Sometimes perspective. When the Holy Spirit will give you a good perspective on the matter, I say, no, he's not thinking something like this. And sometimes misjudgment. He's not
the action he took and his mind concerning it were not the same thing. Don't think he was trying to be evil. I gave her that perspective. She was like, it's true. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this perspective. I said, your leader doesn't hate you. Your leader doesn't hate you. Loves you. All right? So, one time, you know, one of the pastors, I won't mention her name, but, you know, we pray at 9, eh? That's true. We pray at 9. Right? So, yeah. Oh, praise God. So, this is a pastor. She came to my office one day. She started to cry. Why? Because she works in the same office with another pastor. On the other pastor's birthday, I wished the other pastor. On her birthday, I did not wish her happy birthday. I said, sorry. What happened was, I had traveled. The day of her birthday, I was like, okay, I'm going to call her. Now, let me go back to Ghana, then I'll see her. Do you understand? Man, when I go to Ghana, I will see her and I will wish her happy birthday. But I appeared in Ghana. I forgot. She felt like, you don't care about me. You don't think about me. And she's right to feel like that, because one of the things of works of a pastor is to care. The disciples told Jesus, careth not that we perish. Are you seeing? So I have to apologize for that. But I just needed to get my mind. On that day, it wasn't because I did not care. I actually said, oh, I'll call her. No. Let me go and see her in person. She didn't know that part. She had to be told. I had to tell her so she'll understand why I said what I said or why I did what I did. Don't have wounds because of those things. Then I talked about the second wound. I'll just read a few scriptures, then we close. Am I talking to somebody here? Wounds that come from unfulfilled desires. I just want to read some scriptures for you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. He says, we should not be tired in doing the right thing. He said, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hang on to God. There's something called due season. Like a giver who keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. And it's like, God has not answered. He said, let us not be weary. We should not be tired. Give it to me in the NLT. We should not be tired in doing the right thing. He said, in due season, we shall reap it. If what? If we don't give up. He said, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. I see. Sometimes like you're doing what is good, you're not seeing it. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time. Someone said, at just the right time. He said, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Let me tell you a story. There was this lady. She was one of my daughters growing up. She was sharing her testimony with me last Sunday. Oh boy, I said, how great thou art, oh God. How great thou art. What was the testimony she was sharing? She was sharing the testimony of the first job she's applying for. They gave her a Range Rover. Yeah, the first job she's applying for, they gave her a Range Rover. And after that, blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings were just coming upon her. You know, then I remembered while she was sharing the testimony with me, I remembered how when she started, you know, I started leading her. I was just a fellowship leader. You know, she was a student and she was preaching in her school. One day she was slapped for preaching. One day they slapped her in her school for preaching. Preaching. Ta! She was slapped for preaching. She was persecuted. Her family was persecuting her. She was coming from a Muslim background. They were persecuting her. Years came. And God did not forget what she did. He says, at the right time, in due season, there's something called in due season. So don't stop doing what you are doing. Don't stop the praying. Don't stop the all night. Don't stop joining the prayers. The 4 a.m. one. Don't stop, because in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. He says, and let us not be weary in well doing. Go back to the NLT.
He said, but not, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Tell somebody, don't give up. Tell somebody, don't give up. Tell somebody, we don't give up. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, also in the NLT. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, Rabako Shedebe. This scripture should put springs in your steps to continue what you're doing, to continue the praying, to continue the fasting. Verse 58. Lokaromo kaskebai. Keep going to church, my sister. Keep going to church, my brother. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Continue praying. Continue doing the right thing. He says, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. He says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Somebody say, be strong. No, you're not telling the person. Say like, be strong. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Oh, lift your hand. Nothing you ever do for the Lord is ever useless. If you went out soul winning for the Lord, it's never useless. When you went praying for that's lost, it is never useless. Everything you are doing, you will reap at the right time if you faint not. Oh, kamasata yaba. If it is sweet sowing, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because you will reap if you faint not. Nothing you ever do for the Lord is ever useless. Do you know that here that you are sitting, God has marked it. Bible says that when one to another they spoke concerning the Lord, he said, the Lord hearken and listen to it. He said, the book of remembrance was open. He said, in that day when I make up my jewel, there's a day of remembrance. There's a particular day. There's a day of reckoning. God will come around and say, I remember what you did 10 years ago. Now receive this harvest of blessings. And people will be looking at you and be wondering, what has this girl done to? Because this girl I'm talking about, if someone sees her cruising, you know, blessings upon blessings, you say, hey, what did she do to deserve all this kind of thing? She is sleeping with people and sleeping with men. You don't know that 10 years ago, she was preaching somewhere and she received a slap for the gospel. And God said, you have received a slap. Oh, 10 years later, you are going to see what's going to happen in your life. He said, nothing we do for the Lord is ever useless. If you're praying, it's never useless. If you're serving the Lord, it's never useless. If you are living right, it's never useless. If you are giving, it's never useless. There are givings you are giving today. It will show up in 5 years. Because not all seeds come after 3 months. Some seeds come after 5 years. Cocoa doesn't come after 3 months. So when the guy who planted tomato and the guy who planted cocoa are all seeing their trees coming out, the guy who planted tomatoes will come and say, hey, my tomatoes has come. Oh, you are suffering. But the guy with cocoa, he knows after 5 years what he will make from the cocoa. It will be 10 years of what the guy who was making tomato will get. Am I talking to somebody here? Sometimes your life is like the cooking of Indomie. Someone's testimony, someone's life, destiny is like the cooking of Indomie. But your own can be like the cooking of beans. It will take some time, but something will come out of it. It will take some time, but something will come out of it. Is there nothing we do for the Lord? It's ever useless. So don't have a wound in your heart that you are praying and nothing is changing. That you are serving the Lord, nothing is changing. Because something is happening inside. Something is happening inside. I prophesy to you today, your parents, they will gather together and say, thank you for serving the Lord. Because we have seen the light. Your family members, they will look at you and say, you have shown us the way. Oh, I tell you, your friends, they will discuss among themselves and say, if we knew, we would have followed him. Because your life is going to be a testimony of the word of God. Remember what the Bible says in Psalm 78 verse 5. The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's ways. Your story will be a lesson in God's ways. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray out loud. David said, all my days are written in your book. They are written in your book.
Matola Basataya. Oh, so that time, what things will begin to show up? Ah, they are written in the book. Your prayers are yielding results. Your prayers are yielding results. Listen, prayers, we are still praying. But I just want to tell you something. Those of you who have been feeling the urge to be praying, continue. Because prayers don't only come with answers, they also come with reward. Jesus Christ said, you shall receive a reward. That's not answer. Sometimes, after you have finished praying, there's an answer. But aside the answer, there's a reward. That's why Jesus said, we should not pray so that we'll be seen of men. Why? He said, we shall receive a reward. Prayer also comes with a reward, aside the answer. The answer is not the reward. There's a reward for praying. So as you are praying, if you find yourself on the back every Friday night, don't stop. Keep praying, because there's a reward. He said, show shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. And when thou found it, there shall be a reward. And thy expectations shall not be cut short.